Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
So if you make it your goal to amass money, you'll always and only impress a limited sphere of people.
Russ Crossan on Focus on the Family Minute.
This helps me keep perspective. This idea of, I'm not going to make it my goal just to have more and bigger to impress people. I'm going to try to use my money to invest in posterity, invest in what God's doing around the world, and impact an unlimited sphere of people. Because like I said, Philippians 4:19 is true. My God shall supply all your needs. Mm. And so it might be an unexpected check or whatever, but your job, first of all, is to, all right, I'm going to do whatever to do the best of my ability to live within my income, whatever that income is. And then trust God to meet my needs, because He will, Jim. Right. I mean, you've seen it, I've seen
it.
Oh,
yeah.
I would just say to listeners, start where you are and have the courage to do it the opposite of most of the people around you, because most people are just like, you know, this will all work itself out. No, spend less than you make. Do it for a long time.
More financial advice from Russ at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Applause Children's Theater seeks to bring an opportunity to perform in Broadway musicals to the youth in the community. They believe all kids deserve to be on stage, and all who audition are cast in the show. Find out more about Applause Children's Theater and sponsor a child or show. The performances are at the Christian Life Center on Oak Street in Paso Robles. They hope to have their own building someday. ApplauseChildrensTheater.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Hello, hello. Happy New Year and welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi, and today we've got lots to discuss. We're going to talk about Venezuela. We're going to talk about waste, fraud, and abuse in California. And we've got a few guests to help us untangle all these complicated topics, starting with my former colleague from the Washington Free Beacon, Adam Credo, who is joining us from Washington, D.C., to help us understand what in the world is going on with Venezuela. So Adam, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So happy to have you. And I will say for our listeners, Adam is not only probably one of the kindest journalists I've ever met, which is a very rare thing, but he also really, really knows his stuff on foreign policy and is extremely well-sourced. So if you are confused or you have any questions about Venezuela, this is a huge opportunity to pick a very big brain. So call in if you wish. That's call in number is 238-5775, 238-KPRL. All right, Adam. So I admit that I was not expecting this stealth capture of Nicolas Maduro this weekend. It took me by surprise when I got my little Apple News alert. So give us the 10,000-foot view here. What was the lead up to this? Maybe the lead up that many of us outside the Beltway were not aware of. And what do we know today?
Sure. So it has been coming for a while. I think while foreign policy analysts and reporters like me didn't know the specific timing, I think the tea leaves certainly indicated that this was the case. The Trump administration has been pressuring Maduro in Venezuela for months. Their primary concern is the influx of drugs across the southern border, as well as operatives. These are narco-terrorists. These are bad guys that have a pretty easy time crossing the southern border, and certainly did during the Biden-Harris administration, less so during Trump with the crackdown. But I think Vice President Vance made it very clear that they offered multiple off-ramps to Maduro, who, by the way, wasn't really a legitimate leader, right?
Right.
Last election was rigged.
Right.
Most governments refused to even recognize his government, the Europeans, and, of course, the United States government. So even though he claims in court today he's still the president of the country, I think a lot of people would dispute even that very declaration that he was a legitimate president of Venezuela. And there was already an opposition party that had clearly won the election, but it was rigged, and they've been in exile ever since. So while I think drugs and narco-terrorism are your front and center main issues, there's a lot of other stuff to unpack surrounding Venezuela. With Maduro in charge, this has been not just a breeding ground for narco-terrorists and drug traffickers, but also from the other people who make money off of this. Those are international terrorism groups. Hezbollah, the Iranian-funded militant organization in Lebanon, has had a foothold in the country for quite some time, using it for phony passports, using it to get money through the drug cartels and partner with them, even just to move operatives across the region and, of course, endanger entry through the southern border. So I think all those other issues are also bound up in this. Maduro was a key ally for Tehran, a key ally for the Russians, and therefore the Chinese. So knocking one of those pegs off of the board puts all of them in a tighter position.
Right. That was my next question, what this means globally. You know, obviously Venezuela is in our backyard.
Yeah.
And the alliances, China has a very deep interest in being in our backyard, as does Iran. So when you say now they're in a tighter position, what does that mean exactly for our own national security?
For sure. So if you want to look at like the big winners and losers in this, certainly a win for freedom in the Western Hemisphere. And I think you've seen all the more U.S. aligned governments react in that way to it. I think that tells you a lot of about what you need to know in terms of the support. And the losers, probably the biggest, are the Iranians. They're already squeezed. There's a protest movement that's been going on for weeks in Iran. Their currency is completely in the gutter. Sanctions have worked. They've brought the regime and the economy to its knees. Maduro was really one of Tehran's largest allies, just in terms of putting out illicit oil into the marketplace. That trade is billions of dollars worth, quite a lot to an Iranian regime that can't engage in the legitimate banking sector, right? So I think that was very much the key piece of their proceeds. And it goes even down into things like weapons factories, drone factories. Venezuela is known to have various compounds where Iran is actually assembling Shahed drones. Those are the very same drones that are being used in Ukraine every night, that the Russians are using, and that the Chinese sent mechanical parts for to the Russians. So it's all intricately tied in that way, with the Iranians, I think, being very much the foremost loser, just because they were so incredibly reliant on that region to rebuild Hezbollah, to rebuild their terrorism proxy networks in the region that were completely wiped away by months of war with the Israelis. I think the Russians, to a lesser extent, they're still squeezed by the war in Ukraine. It's more and more entrenched, and they're pouring not just bodies into the conflict, but resources as well. For the Chinese, I think less so, but it's definitely a warning sign to them with their aspirations of taking over Taiwan and doing their own offensive maneuvers. It, I think, sends a very clear message that Trump means what he says when he says we're going to get you if you don't stop X, Y, and Z. He's probably going to pull the trigger. That's the biggest kind of pull away from this.
And it's so different from the last administration. It couldn't draw a stronger contrast. I'm glad you brought in the Iranian tie, because that's another place where I've been watching the demonstrations really closely. I followed the human rights violations of Iran for so long, and the just brutal repression of women, especially there. And that's been very exciting, kind of the grassroots uprising we're seeing of just citizens who have had enough. And
yeah, I mean, and think about the message that Iranian protesters are getting from this when they see their brethren in Venezuela set free from the oppressive chains of a dictator. I think there are a lot of parallels there for the Iranian people who are fighting a clerical regime, but no less a dictatorship than an oppressive regime that doesn't let them express freely, doesn't let them access the internet, goes and causes terrorism across the entire globe, not just the Middle East, mind you, at the detriment of the very people they claim to represent. So the parallels there, I think, couldn't be any more clear when you talk about people on the ground.
Yes, yes. And Venezuela is, well, like Iran, you look at the photographs, and it's been even more recent for Venezuela, but how it declines so quickly from this prosperous, incredibly beautiful nation to just crippling poverty. So I have to ask about the oil question now. Sure. So obviously all the talk is about Venezuela's massive oil reserves. There's been some signals that we can have access to those reserves. Can you untangle all of that for us? Is this another Iraq war situation? Is this what's the talk in DC about where all this is going?
Yeah, look, I think the parallels to be drawn on that specific issue are fair. People who are recalcitrant after seeing the failures of Afghanistan and Iraq, an endless war in that region over what they believe was primarily oil. Venezuela is sitting on significantly more. I believe they're the top oil reserve in the globe. I saw numbers that were, you know, reaching above $17 trillion in terms of the actual wealth, and wow, still trillions, even if you sold that at, you know, a fraction of market share. Trump, look, he was very clear that he wants U.S. private business in there. I read a report that they were even alerted prior to the operation, probably not very far in advance, but it seems that he wants U.S. private industry involved in whatever happens next. And I think a healthy amount of skepticism is probably fair on that respect. We learned some very terrible lessons, particularly in Afghanistan, in Iraq, about what it means when you stay and try to rebuild a country that maybe doesn't want to be rebuilt, and you do it purely for the wealth. I think Venezuela is probably a slightly different situation, given the fact that the people there are much more receptive to the U.S. intervention. But I think we all have to be very careful in how we're watching this develop and whether this is really about helping the people and helping the cause of democracy, like the White House has been saying, or whether this is purely a move that is about, you know, taking a natural resource for a country. That would be a less ideal scenario, as I would probably put it politely. But I get the skepticism. I think.
But a practical matter for an empire battling other empires right now. It's one of those,
I think that's
you know, you gotta be, everything
look,
is not,
I mean,
an ideal.
It's not, and things aren't black and white. And I also think that with the Maduro in power, who was getting the oil? The Chinese were getting it at cut rate. The Russians, all of them getting it at cut rate costs. It's the same thing the Iranians do when they ship illicit oil. They sell it to China at a fraction of the price because it's not legal, but China doesn't care about sanctions and the international order. So I think it's probably a best outcome scenario to have the U.S. position for a foothold on this rather than our traditional foes. But, you know, that's just me.
So speaking of that, who is calling the shots now in Venezuela? I suppose it's us. And are you aware of any kind of, you know, short-term, long-term plan for what comes next?
Yeah, those are all good questions, none of which I think were really answered by the White House press conference over the weekend. But right now, technically, the interim leader is Rodriguez, Maduro's vice president. She was sworn in, I believe, earlier today. And while, you know, saying things like decrying the military aggression and this kind of stuff, she's also expressed a willingness to work with the U.S. I think it was news to Marco Rubio when Trump said at the press conference that Rubio would be handling their affairs, and that, as Trump put it, we are in charge now. I think
there were lots of great memes from that, I have to say.
Yeah, and I think the reality is going to be less cut and dry than just the U.S. calling shots. I also don't think it's feasible in terms of a foreign policy to have the United States saying that we're going to entirely run another country. This has got to be done with people on the ground. This has got to be done with either opposition, reformist elements. I don't think you can even sell it to the Venezuelan people, as appreciative as many of them might be, that the U.S. is going to be the de facto boss of Venezuela. It doesn't seem like something the U.S. would even want to do. Traditionally, I don't think we've done a great job on that front.
Yeah. Where are the opposition leaders now? You mentioned they're in exile after getting kicked out.
Yep. Two of them in exile. One of the major problems when people were discussing for months and months regime change in Venezuela and what that would look like is that while the opposition forces have a sizable backing and are popularly supported by the people, one thing that was missing was an actual transition plan, right? That if you put these people into office right now, they won't really know how to govern. And I think that problem still presents itself, and that's going to be a challenge for Rubio, the State Department, whoever the Trump administration ends up putting in charge of doing diplomacy with a new Venezuelan government, is helping them actually do the things like governing the country. That's the hard part. And often opposition forces have popular support because they say the right things. They're rallying against the dictator, but when they actually get into the seat of power, they don't really have a plan. So I'd keep a major eye on that looking forward and whether the U.S. Can help them achieve that.
What's the general mood of your State Department sources? Or is there a general mood? Is there a uniform mood?
No, there's never a general mood. Yeah. The State Department is a deeply unhappy and unpleasant place, by and large. But look, they're professionals and they do their job. I think the people who work on Western Hemisphere have been doing their best for a while and will continue doing that diplomacy. We've got a lot of good people. I've spoken to them in the region. I've done trips to Ecuador and elsewhere in the region, and I know that our foreign service folks are really poised to fill a vacuum there and can very much help whatever the political echelon of the Trump administration writ large decides to do there.
And before I let you go, Maduro, sure, came into court today. Did you follow,
yeah,
that at all? What's going to happen?
I did,
there?
Yeah,
I heard that he was very surprised that he had the right to representation.
Hey, well, yeah, look, I mean, this is a right that he doesn't allow to others in,
exactly,
his own country. But yeah, him and his wife appeared. They claimed they had been kidnapped by the U.S. military. Obviously, they've been formally indicted since 2020. That indictment's been amended any number of times to include narco-terrorism, drug trafficking, weapons against the United States. And I think all of this is going to be part of the court case. But I don't think it's going to happen quickly. I think we're looking at least a year or so as the gears grind. American judicial system is never quick, and this is a case that's going to have a lot of eyeballs on it. So I think they have a good start with the indictments through 2020 up until now, but they're definitely going to have to show this proof in court of all of the drug networks, all of the money running networks, and I think they have a lot of that. Our Treasury Department folks are pretty good at tracking illicit financing, but that's going to be the challenge when any case actually comes to be. And obviously, he maintains he's still the president, so we'll see how that matters.
We'll see how that goes. Well, thanks so much. Where can everyone read your reporting, and what are you working on
now? Absolutely. Yes, at the Washington Free Beacon. It's freebeacon, BEACON.com. Obviously, I'm working on this issue. I'm trying to figure out a little bit right now about what Iran's status in the region is. How are they going to keep those drone factories going? How are they going to continue to move terrorist operatives across the region? I think that's an open question, so I'm trying to sleuth that out now with various sources and just kind of figure out what the trickle-down effect is. This, as Hezbollah and the other militant groups tied to Iran, they're all in the region. They've been there for decades, and I think this deals a very major blow to them. I'm curious to see where to they're going to scatter and how they're going to keep that illicit financing network that they rely on open.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you so much, Adam. Really appreciate you joining us. And Happy
Anytime.
New Year.
It's always my pleasure. Thank you. Same to you. I appreciate you.
Thanks. Bye. All right. Well, that was a lot of information. I learned a lot because, you know, it's been a lot of news coverage. And this is why I really wanted to have Adam on, because I knew he'd really get down to the bottom of it. The news coverage on the Venezuela issue, as with every issue now, has been so partisan and not a whole lot of clear-eyed, practical information of what it's all about and what's happening next. So speaking of what's happening next, we are going to turn next, and this is really, really good timing, because today it was announced that Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota, is not going to run for re-election. He announced that. He is obviously the fall guy for all the fraud, the explosive fraud reports that went viral over the Christmas holidays, particularly around all the Somali fraud around daycares. But he who, you know, just over a year ago was vaunted to the national spotlight as the VP choice for Kamala Harris, he would be our VP if she had won. So he has stepped down, and there has been so much attempt, and I think that there is going to be a lot of focus on California next, because most people think that the fraud here has got to just far outweigh the fraud of Minnesota. So speaking on that will be a Republican State Assemblyman, David Tangipa. He's going to join us next. He's on the phone now, stepping off of the assembly floor. So don't go anywhere. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back speaking with State Assemblyman Tangipa. Thank you so much. You're listening to Free Talk California.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. Deposed Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro pleading not guilty in a New York court. He's facing federal drug trafficking charges. Fox's Eric Shawn's in Manhattan.
He seemed defiant and composed. He said he was captured from his home, saying, quote, "I am innocent. I am not guilty. I am a decent man. I am still president of my country."
Maduro's wife also arrested during a U.S. military raid. She entered a not guilty plea as well. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz ending his bid for a third term as governor.
Minnesota faces enormous challenges this year, and I refuse to spend a single minute doing anything other than rising to meet this moment. Minnesota has always come first and always will.
Minnesota has become the focus of sweeping fraud allegations. America's listening to Fox News.
Have you considered selling scrap gold or silver? Need some advice on strategies to buy gold? Midstate Precious Metals is here to serve you. Ron is a veteran, and his family-owned business is in Atascadero across the parking lot from the movie theater. Midstate Precious Metals is a reputable, certified dealer and can walk you through the process of selling coin collections or scrap jewelry. They are one of the highest-paying bullion dealers on the West Coast. Stop in anytime just to chat. Midstate Precious Metals, open Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 3.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi, and joining me now from Sacramento is the Assemblyman David Tangipa. Welcome, Assemblyman.
It's an honor to join you.
Thank you so much. So I wanted to have you on because you are one of our state officials, elected officials, who's been harping on that maybe after all the explosive news out of Minnesota, we should be taking a look at California spending. So as I mentioned just before we you came on air, obviously Minnesota Governor Tim Walz announced he isn't seeking re-election. Obviously, it's probably over these reports. He's definitely taking the fall for it. And then we have California, where Gavin Newsom is eyeing a 2028 presidential run. And we have so many signs that things are seriously wrong. Under Gavin Newsom, the budget grew by $100 billion. Nothing has improved. In fact, things have gotten worse. But we have a ton more agencies, a ton more money into all kinds of NGOs aligned with the Democratic Party. Taxes keep going up. The state surplus is gone. We've got deficits galore. So what's the mood in Sacramento after all this broke about Minnesota? Is anyone afraid that the spotlight's going to turn here next?
Well, first and foremost, I just want to thank God that Tim Walz is not our vice president, because we see the failures that are happening in Minnesota. And this is another case and example of potentially allowing somebody to fail their way upwards because of the lack of accountability. One of the things that I think about with what happened in Minnesota is I think about the local reporting that actually happened all the way back in 2013, all the way till 2020. They actually knew fraud was happening and nobody did anything about it. And then it takes Nick Shirley to come in and to make it a massive viral sensation for us to say, holy cow, we are being stolen from. Mm-hmm. Now it's going to take that same type of effort here in Sacramento, here in California, all over the place. Because if we think Minnesota is bad, well, hang on, because California is a million times worse and probably created the type of infrastructure that we have now seen. I'll tell you this right now. I am going through and checking every single dollar out of the budget committee. And the main reason why is because we know exactly how this works. The elected officials give money to NGOs. These NGOs then create high salaries. These high salaries are what they use to wash the government money to then become major donors to elected campaigns. They use that income to give to PAC and to give to other organizations to then get people elected to then backfill that money back into their pockets. So when we go and we take an NGO that had $2 million allocations from 10 years ago to all of a sudden the next year they get a $50 million allocation, but yet their services didn't change, what happened? What happened is that they found a loophole to get money back. Now, this is legal theft, and we've got to change that. And this is why it's so important to get involved, because of Nick Shirley. Governor Walz is no longer going to be the next governor of Minnesota. And if we want to prevent a Gavin Newsom presidency, it starts now. We have 3.5 years to make sure that we can make that Gavin Newsom is not the president of the United States. Just as bad as Tim Walz would have been the vice president, Gavin Newsom is worse because he's competent. So we've got to start working on it. We need everybody and anybody. If you're listening to this radio station, it's not just about listening to the radio station. It's about getting involved. If you know NGOs out there, non-governmental organizations that are getting backfilled with taxes but yet providing no services, send that to us. We need everybody to be collectively involved in this. Sacramento is just as bad as the entire state of Minnesota, significantly worse. And the only way we can expose it is if the people of California want to wake up, step up, and help us out.
That's great. That's a good rallying cry. And you're so right. I've spent when I was a reporter at the Washington Free Beacon, I spent a lot of time in the fiscal system, which is a very decrepit but somewhat useful system that's supposed to track all of our taxpayer dollars and where it goes. And it's really amazing to see just the explosion of money, particularly under Gavin Newsom, funneled. The story I did a few months ago was $18 million funneled through the Tides Center, which is a Democratic dark money group, to all these NGOs, which, as you said, popped up overnight. They pop up overnight. They're nothing. And then all of a sudden they've got multi-million dollar budgets. And you're like, what? What are they even doing? And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. So,
well, my
yeah, go on.
My big push is we know it's happening. We have proof it's happening. But until we bring back accountability and until people actually start saying, like, wait, I do know that this is wrong, that's what's going to be the change. You as a reporter that's really exposed that, it's not something that's a conspiracy. It's traceable. It's trackable. Then you give it to the people and nothing happens with it. Well, that's where we're asking right now is that the people need to join us, whether it's rallies here in Sacramento or it's elections. That's the way we bring accountability back.
Right. One thing I will say, and I'm going to bring this up, I don't want to focus too much on it, but the upcoming potential ballot proposal, SEIU, the very powerful labor union here in California, is trying to get a so-called billionaire tax, an asset tax, on the ballot for next year. Obviously, that's a horrific precedent that could really hit the middle class, because when the billionaires are gone, who comes next? But I will say that the timing of public awareness of this ballot measure, which has already driven billionaires out of state, like David Sacks and Peter Thiel, they've already gone out of state. That combined with this massive scrutiny now on waste, fraud, and abuse, and just all the waste, fraud, and abuse that we know, certainly the waste that we know has happened in California, from homelessness spending to the high-speed rail to COVID-era fraud, that has kind of been the perfect storm, because we have really prominent, mostly Silicon Valley leaders who have influence with our government, our politicians. They're calling. They're now saying, "Why would you tax anymore when you can't even track the money?" So I have to say that seems really providential, because you probably see it too, and you probably heard it too. We need that as well. We need the grassroots, but when it comes to influence with our politicians, certain people have more influence than others. So I'll take allies anywhere on this front.
Well, and that's our big part is, yeah, I mean, there are a lot, you know, we've all seen the movie Jerry Maguire, Show Me the Money. Just follow the money. And following the money, we'll see, you know, which groups are actually getting the benefits from this. Again, that's why I talk about where a group goes from $2 million to $35 million. Well, what are they doing to get that? The only thing that they're doing is actually paying their CEOs and board members significantly higher salaries. And then those board members become the number one donors to those electeds, who then send that same money back. And so that is the part that's actually giving a lot of influence. But it's here right now. I don't, with whatever anybody wants to do with their private money, they can go ahead and do that. But the loophole that they have created by using governmental organizations to then create artificial salaries that give no production value to anybody, that actually do nothing other than promote political agendas using taxpayer-funded dollars, that is wrong. That is legal corruption, and we need to close that loophole. But the only way we are going to do that is by getting more people elected, is by getting people involved in volunteerism, is by getting people to actually point this out. You know, what we've seen over these past few days is just proof in the pudding that even a dictator will get defended by Democrats. And yet, we've got to have our own accountability. So I'm calling on the people who are both moderately minded Democrats who don't believe dictators should be protected, are the ones who are also independents who see that there's a problem with California, and the Republicans that have been asleep because they haven't found somebody that is willing to fight as hard for them. Well, we're trying to give them hope right now. And I can say this, if anybody, especially in the Republican or Conservative Party, have been asking, where are our elected leaders and what are they doing? We are fighting. We are trying. We've only been in office, some of us, for this last year. But I will tell you this, the dedication is to make sure that we can turn California around. When we pay the highest amount in taxes, we can't have the worst roads. When we pay the highest amount in taxes, we can't have the worst schools. When we pay the highest amount in taxes, we can't be number one in poverty, homelessness, and in housing and unaffordability. You can't have it. But that's where you know, where the people here step up in California, whether you're Democrat, Republican, or independent, we will change this place.
So what you mentioned, that there are rallies happening, tell us how people can get involved. And are you opening up any tip lines for people to blow the whistle on fraud and waste that they may see?
Well, they can just reach out to my office. It's very easy to reach me. My last name is Tongipa, but it's spelled Tang IPA. I am the only Polynesian in the state legislature. I'm the only person with that last name other than my own siblings. So you're going to find one of us. But if they want to send us a message, whether it's on X, whether it's on Instagram, Facebook, they're listening to this right now. It's very, very easy to reach us. So just look up the name Tongipa, send us an email. It's all of my information's on my website. It's just David Tongipa for Assembly. That's where we're really looking for it. We're looking for a lot of CPAs and accountants as well that can kind of go through this information with us. So if you've got a background in non-governmental organizations, nonprofits, that also you understand how these forms are filled out and you're a CPA, we need some help. So reach out to anybody in the state legislature. You can reach out to me specifically. I'm here to help.
Perfect. And then you are on your first day back to the legislative session, I believe, for the new year. Is there, what's the scuttle? Is anyone talking about this? Are people ignoring it? What's your sense on, I know you just got back, but what are you hearing?
Well, I do hear that there are a lot of people talking about it, in the sense, you know, others may try to dismiss it a little bit because, oh no, we haven't found anything here yet. Well, I'll tell them this, yet is here to come, because Governor Walz had yet for a long time, and we're going to make sure too, when it comes to the governor of this state or the other legislators that are in this state as well, that we will find the money and we will figure this out.
Great. All right. Well, thank you so much, Assemblyman, for representing public angst. And yes, hopefully people listening who may know stuff will be empowered. I do sense that there is just this wave of discontent that has really been wakened. So it's kind of an exciting period, and it felt like everything was going one way, and just this one explosion of scandal in Minnesota seems to have unleashed a whole lot of energy. So thank you.
Well, of course. Well, thank you. And let's keep on fighting. Let's expose California.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you, Assemblyman.
Take care.
All right. So as I mentioned before Christmas, the state auditor had released that scathing report that 8 different state agencies were high risk for serious waste, fraud, abuse, or mismanagement that is costing us billions. And obviously we know that $24 billion in homeless funds basically disappeared. Nobody knows what those funds accomplished, what they did. There's the $1 billion plus that we're spending on the high-speed rail that doesn't exist. And there's not even any track for it. The latest was that the high-speed rail just released a public comment period for an environmental review of a mythical track that's supposedly happening near Los Angeles. And then there's the $30 billion plus in EDD fraud from the pandemic, the unemployment fraud of just billions of dollars going out the door, being shoveled out the door with the sanction of state officials. And there's been no reform of that system. And then guerrilla reports of similar kinds of just the daycare fraud that brought down Walz. So anyway, I will say that before we break, it just does seem that all of a sudden there's something about the end of last year and the start of this year. There just seems to be an acceleration of change. And we don't know where it will take us. The only thing we do know about history is that it is shaped by men and women of strong character. They're the ones who direct it. They're the ones who shape it. That's always been true. And I saw a great quote, which I'm going to adopt as the quote of the day. I hope it makes it onto a T-shirt. It's from Walter Kern, who is a writer and founder of the print-only newspaper County Highway. I mentioned that paper quite a bit. We've had the other co-founder, David Samuels, on as a guest. You can get it around town. I believe one of the editors lives in Templeton, in fact. And that was the paper that first broke the Somali story. Anyway, Walter Kern had this quote saying, "Trickle a little raw milk into a population and stuff starts changing fast." I just love that. As I said, need it on a t-shirt. All right, we will wrap up with a few more tidbits related to California waste, fraud, and abuse, and an update on the voter initiative for voter ID here, right after these messages from our sponsors. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Free Talk California.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report. The major averages rallied with the Dow posting its first record close of the year as risk appetite returns to Wall Street and as investors monitor the developments in Venezuela. Consumer cyclicals, energy, and financials were the best performing sectors while tech lagged. Shares of Chevron, the only U.S. major oil company currently operating in Venezuela, climbed 5%. Defense-related stocks also advanced like General Dynamics and Lockheed Martin. Precious metals surged as investors piled into safe haven assets, with the price of gold up over $4,450 a troy ounce. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Caterpillar, and J.P. Morgan Chase. The Dow decliners, Amgen, Apple, and Johnson & Johnson. The Dow up 595 points, the Nasdaq higher by 160, S&P 500 up 44. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
If you're over 40 and plan to retire someday, the window to protect what you've built may be smaller than you realize. As retirement moves from someday to on the horizon, protecting what you've built becomes just as important as growing it. And that's where Noble Gold Investments comes in. They help investors reduce risk by adding gold and silver to their portfolios. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com, NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult with your tax or financial professional before making investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online, DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi, and we are heading into the last segment of the show. I know that we covered a lot, but I do want to add a little more on the fraud front after speaking with Assemblyman David Tongupa. Sorry that I got his pronunciation wrong. I should have known. I used to live in Tonga, and I should have known how to pronounce his Polynesian name. Anyway, I had mentioned that a lot of pretty prominent people, some of whom have been enablers and deep-pocketed funders of Democrats in the state, are really kind of, I don't know, seriously angry. I think there is some political, there's some political posturing by some pretty even left-wing Democratic office holders, particularly Congressman Ro Khanna, who was backing the asset tax in his Silicon Valley district, which made a lot of his donors and supporters really angry. And so he's talking about accountability for the state funding, because I think he knows he has to. And then there is the moderate Democratic mayor of San Jose, Matt Mahan, who I think has aspirations for the governorship. At least he's really poised himself as kind of a Democratic opponent and critic of Gavin Newsom, which I do appreciate, because that just does not happen from Democrats in California. Newsom is just part of the very powerful clique that runs this state. And I think I've mentioned this before. I realized during the recall that so many people behind closed doors, anonymously speaking off the record, just do not like him at all, but they will never come out and criticize him or help the state by opposing him in any meaningful way. So anyway, there is a lot of noise about bringing scrutiny to our state spending. There are a lot of questions. Finally, you know, so many of the very, very smart left-wing intellectuals who were defending some kind of tax, really, really attacking Prop 13. That's kind of the number one target of the, I put this in scare quotes, the very smart intelligentsia leftist class really hate Prop 13. And I do worry that could be on the chopping block. But no one has ever really asked the question of how California's budget just exploded. Obviously, we do not have a revenue problem. Taxes keep going up. You know, more and more local bonds are added every election cycle, it seems. And so I really appreciate the number of people who are stepping up and basically putting our leaders on notice that there's going to be a lot more discovery and investigation into where our taxpayer dollars are going. So speaking of that, today, Christopher Rufo, the conservative activist who helped bring down a lot of the hierarchies of Ivy Leagues around the country. He did a lot of reporting on Minnesota in the wake of County Highway and other local reporters, but he's pretty high profile. He says he's planning to turn to California next. And then this actually surprised me. Gary Tan, who is the head, I think he's the founder of Y Combinator, which is a big tech incubator hub in San Francisco. He is a prominent Democratic donor, and he backs our favorite Scott Wiener. He tweeted today, California is not okay. There is a vast expansion of nonprofit graft that doesn't serve the people it claims to help. Simultaneously to that, it's becoming harder than ever to conduct normal business and create new private sector jobs. Stop the grift. And then we have one of David Sachs's buddies on, there's this podcast, I don't know if anyone listens to it, it's called the All In Podcast. It's like these wealthy tech, I think they call themselves tech bros. One of them, Chamath Palihapitiya, I think that's how you pronounce his name. I've been following him for a long time, but I still don't pronounce his name correctly, I don't think. But anyway, he has really been on the warpath about the spending. And he's been a critic of Newsom for a long time. He was a critic of Newsom during the recall after COVID. But he basically is saying, you know, he's calling out the endless tax hikes that we see. He said California politicians are constantly raising our taxes in part to pay for nonsense. This kind of nonsense. He's referring to a local San Diego reporter who, or activist, conservative activist, who was finding all kinds of weird stuff going on in the daycare centers in San Diego. And then he said politicians raise taxes not because it's needed, but because it gives them a bigger slush fund to enrich groups that will vote for them. They fund luxury hotels for illegal immigrants while working families can barely afford health care. And let's see. And then he did this pretty long call for action on California. He said it should not be lost on citizen journalists and anyone who finds waste, fraud, and abuse of taxpayer dollars offensive. That's starting with an investigative report by Chris Rufo in November, followed by a viral YouTube video by Nick Shirley. The sitting governor of Minnesota has effectively resigned by choosing not to run again. In Minnesota, the question now is how far does the waste run and will it be tied back to quid pro quo campaign contributions? Separately, the critical question for the rest of the country and for the financial lenders from the bond market, which parenthetical is very, very key in California because we keep voting for these bond measures, borrowing money for projects that never seem to get off the ground, particularly all the water projects that we voted for and Newsom has not followed through. So for the financial lenders from the bond market is if these same citizen journalists can now run their playbook and direct it on California, the fourth largest economy in the world. I do want to mention some of the reporting by Amy Reichert in San Diego. She's been looking at her local daycares and she's found some interesting things. Don't know how much state or federal taxpayer funding these guys are getting, if any, but she found one called the Ahmed Diamond Family Child Care, which supposedly has 14 children enrolled in it. But when the state arrived for an unannounced inspection, there were no children present, and there was only one staff member. Then one child miraculously arrived shortly after the state inspector did, and then a second child was dropped off for supposedly their first day. And Amy, after putting some of these reports out, she said that she is getting a ton of whistleblower messages from high-level nonprofit workers and insiders describing shocking alleged conditions inside California taxpayer-funded child care programs, centers where the only child enrolled is the owners, others where there's abusive treatment of children. So there's probably a lot besides the homelessness funding, besides the high-speed rail funding, besides the unemployment frauds. There's probably a lot on the child care front as well. And it is noticeable that free child care has really been pushed by our state leaders, notably Newsom and his wife. And, well, Democrats all around the country, it's been kind of this call for child care funding. And now we know where a lot of it is going. And Amy also pointed out, I did not realize this, this is pretty key. So our state has extended these child care payments, this child care payment policy that was launched during COVID, when basically they wanted to keep daycares in business. And so they said, you know, they'll get paid as if they've enrolled the maximum number of kids that they can, but they may just have one or two kids. And this was to keep them in business during COVID. And those payments, those subsidies, have been extended into mid this year and could be extended even further. So these are straight up checks going to these places for kids that are not enrolled. So that's already happening. That was approved by the legislature and by Gavin Newsom. So anyway, lots to watch on this front. But in the meantime, Happy New Year, everyone. It's good to be back. Let's make 2026 one to count for California. You're listening to Free Talk California. Take care.
Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.